fan, good morning and welcome to Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It is February 3rd, 2024, and we welcome you folks out there. We thank you for joining us. Before we get started, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us. Lord, we're living in interesting times. We cry out to you and we ask, Father, that you save us from the hands of our enemies, those that seek to destroy your people and those that seek to see your name blotted out. Lord, we cry out to you for the deliverance and that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and all the forces that come against us, your people. Lord, we ask for more wisdom, we ask for more knowledge, and we ask for more understanding, and we ask, Father, that you give us more of that Holy Spirit, that we can discern the things that are going on today. We pray all these things in the name above all names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, amen. We've got a full crew on this morning. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
It's been a while. Glad you could make it.
Yes, sir.
And we've got Tim on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And we've got Paul on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And we've got Richard on the line. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, guys.
And it is February 3rd, and you're tuned in for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And there's a lot of exciting things that are going on in the world today. Does anybody have anything specific that they'd like to start off with? I'll go ahead and turn it over to you, Tim. Tim, why don't you take it away for a few minutes? I got a few things that I got to dial in here because we're doing things a little bit different. We've been having problems with that system up there at the Radio Ranch. And so doing things a little bit different, I need somebody to take it over. So, Tim, take it over for a few minutes, and I'm going to check these feeds out and make sure that I got everything dialed in.
All righty. I think it's interesting that we talk about a lot about farming and food, cattle, you know, things like that. It is radio. It is, you know, talk time with the Ranch Wranglers. So that goes on. One of the things that I've seen interesting again, and we've talked about it a little bit before, was we had another big chicken facility burned. I think it's down around in Brazos County, Texas, down there, and they had a big explosion, and it's a huge was a huge egg layer. Total loss. They said it's going to take days to put it out. It's been 3-4 days ago now that the fire occurred, but as far as I know, they still don't quite have it out. So, you know, Feathercrest Farms is the name of the place, I guess, but when we see those kind of things going on, I think it's just another, we're back to that soft invasion and soft attack thing, but, you know, your food is being... Your food and your supply chains are being attacked. So I thought that was, I don't know, I just thought that was kind of a noteworthy or an interesting one. And, we've got some big storms coming in over there on California coast today. They're talking like California could get up to 6 inches of rain here over the next couple of days. And it's kind of crazy. It's raining here. I mean, been raining for 12 hours in February. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. So it's like, okay. Wow. But yeah, so I mean, it's dumping on us. So, but yeah. So anyways, interesting stuff. What's going on out there with everybody else? I mean,
yeah, we're kind of in the same boat. It's raining like crazy, and it's rained for, yeah, pretty much the last 12 hours. If not longer than that. Yeah, in February. I mean, they were talking about snow yesterday.
In February.
And just rain, just steady rain all night long. It's very interesting.
Well, even if, Tim, to your point of the chicken farm, even if it's just completely luck, which I don't believe in luck, that's a different topic. You know, it's no conspiracy, anything. The end result is still the same. That's one less facility that's producing the food. And so it will, it'll have the same effect, whatever the catalyst for starting the fire or whatever it is. And each one of these manufacturing facilities that leave, I mean, they burn up in a night, and even if they started today, it would take years to rebuild a facility like that. So, regardless of anybody's thoughts of what or why, the same end result. Now I haven't looked at the numbers as far as their production to know what they produce, but there's still a big void there in the food production for that region left by that event.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like you say, when we see all these things going on, whether it's coincidental or not, and like I don't believe it is, but I mean, especially when you look at over the last 2 years at the thousands upon thousands of egg laying facilities, and we've talked about the fact that all of these coincidental fires, and they're all huge. We're talking, I don't know how many now, but hundreds of millions of laying birds going on. You know, I'm sure some of them are meat facilities too, but it's just, and then I love that the cause of the fire is under investigation. So on the articles, but and I'm sure they were insured. I'm sure they were that, but like you said, years to put something like that back into production. If they start now, if their insurance payments don't drag their feet, which when has that not ever happened? Right. It's going to take a long time to put that back online. So, I think that, one building was housing, was all the chickens that said they all perished in the fire. So, prayers go out to those people. And a lot of those operations like that are actually family owned operations. I mean, that are burning to the ground. So that's another thing that's interesting to me. So, I just think when we see these attacks on our food, and we see the powers that be talk about the fact that, well, you know, your groceries really haven't gone up very much. They're not going up much. And I know my wife's like, well, that's a lie. So, You're watching what it takes to feed people go from. I mean, we spend as much a week now as we used to spend in a month a few years back. So it's a
steady thing because it's just like the story of turning the heat up underneath the pot with the frog in it. I mean, it's just a gradual steady thing, but it hasn't stopped going up. And that's a whole other conversation of how expensive it should be or not, and then back to whether we should even be depending on somebody else for our food. But,
exactly.
And that leads me into the thought that I was thinking about this morning is, what should we be doing? We all have our own part in the body, and what should we be doing today and every day, and what should being a Christian soldier look like? And it's different for everyone, but the answer is always that we should be doing something. And even if it's holding fast and praying and looking forward to and hastening to turn God, just regardless, we should be doing something.
Yeah, and I don't think it can be stressed enough that there are no unimportant jobs in God's plan. I mean, a lot of people think that, and humility is a great thing, but you should be grateful, glad, and I suppose the other word would be proud to a certain extent in a good sort of way that, God gave you a job. I mean, I am employed in the service of my Father. So.
Hello?
Kind of a But I think a lot of times we take our or we get that's that bitterness that creeps in. Well, this is what I do, or this is what I don't do, and it's from each one of us is expected a certain amount of working out our salvation, of bringing about the strengthening of our neighbors, or and you don't know what your outreach is. I mean, you just don't have any idea. I had a neighbor in yesterday who's a farmer, and he was talking to me, and we were talking about some of the events going on around here. And one of the things he said, which, you know, I just kind of smiled inwardly, but was the fact he said, well, you know, we're going to have to either take care of each other or we're not going to be here. That's just the way that's going to work. He goes, we got to kind of look after each other. And he goes, you know, he said, I didn't get that 20 years ago, but he goes, it's hitting me between the eyes nowadays. So, you know, when you start seeing people with that kind of attitude, that's the kingdom message, I think, you know, that we care for each other and do the right thing, even though, why did you do that? It didn't get you anything. Yeah, it did. That was the right thing to do. So I like we talk about sometimes, be that guy. You know, it doesn't matter whether it pays right or whether it pays enough or whether it makes you famous. Be that guy. You know, you are that guy.
Well, and you can't put a price tag on having favor with God. And we don't even have a clue what all he does for us every single day. And, you know, as you were talking about that, I was thinking, like right now, today, I have more friends that are selling, they've got small beef companies where, in other words, they're from the field to your table, selling beef, selling cookies, selling baked goods, doing honey. I don't know if that's the trend that you're seeing, but there are more, I guess, local, out of their house, mom and pop, you know, little businesses that people are doing that are doing well right now than I believe I can remember. And maybe part of it is because there's all the social media platforms and they can get advertising and people can know what they're doing. I don't know. But once again, it's the same end result that if I don't have enough land to raise cattle on, I can go, you know, I can get with my friends that have a beef packing company and I can get cattle that I'm looking at staying in their field and, you know, have that for my family to eat, which is way better than buying the mystery meat out of the big box stores. And that's a blessing. And you're talking about supporting. We need to be supporting the people that we know that have those operations. If their eggs cost $3 a dozen instead of $2 a dozen, just pay the dollar, you know, and buy it from your friend. And back to that point, my daughter's been doing some, she won a showmanship event this week, and she won a belt buckle, and me and my wife were talking last night about the sponsors for the belt buckles and for the prizes and what have you. It's not, Walmart's not sponsoring, you know, buying those Montana Silversmith belt buckles or, you know, any of the big names. It's your mom and pop grocery stores and little feed stores and hardware stores. They're the ones that will support you and your children and what you're doing. Walmart doesn't care who you are. You know, you're nothing to them. And so, it is important to support local folks and keep your money in the community as much as you can. because you won't realize the difference in a little bit more that it costs you as much as they will realize the difference of being able to keep the doors open.
Yeah, that extra dollar you pay for those eggs is just like a tithe to your community or to someone who needs it. And the other thing that occurred to me when you were talking about social media and this sales thing is the fact that you can advertise all day long, but if people aren't looking, you know, there's no connection there. So we obviously have a lot of people out there that are looking, that are seeking, that are trying to do better. I was kind of chuckling about that too. I can remember a time not so long ago when we probably only bought maybe 10-15% of our supplies, what would you call it? Non-commercially, I suppose, is a good word as any. But today it's more like 65%, you know. I mean, and we're constantly looking for ways to improve that, you know. I mean, we don't go to some name brand feed store. We go out and buy our feed from one of our local farmers, and we do, you know, there's just a whole bunch of that kind of stuff that goes on. You know where to get your eggs, you know where to get your milk, you know where to get your beef, your garden produce, whatever. It's kind of always it seemed like an interesting dovetail effect to me when something particular in your garden doesn't do well, why somebody else has one that doesn't. A lot of times it's a trade situation too. They're like, my green beans are going crazy and ours didn't make it this year, but I don't have any tomatoes. You want to trade some tomatoes for green beans, you know? Those kind of things are all, it just makes everybody feel good. You know, you leave going, wow, this was of the Lord, and it's impressive. You know, how much better does it get than this? So and think of the connections. Not so terribly long ago, you may not even have known who your neighbors were, you know, and now suddenly you find out you have things in common, and it's a community building effect as well that gives us the ability to strengthen community ties and to, you know, when you're the guy that's giving somebody good food or buying good food from them or supplies or whatever, you know, it gives you an opportunity to, what you say carries more weight or what you present, you know. So if you're presenting God, if you're presenting the kingdom, they're like, that person puts their money and their time where their mouth is, you know. It's not just your gums flapping. So I think that there's a real advantage there and a real blessing there to be had.
Well, a bucket of snap beans is worth a lot more than money because you know how much time somebody put into, you know, planting the garden and cultivating it and keeping it and then, you know, for it to produce. So that's more like a gift of love than just, you know, giving somebody some money because there's a lot of time that represents, that produce does.
Well, and one
and
of the
also,
things,
too, you know, whoever's
one of the things,
whoever's that, giving it to you is a producer, and that's our people, you know, normally are producers.
I agree, and one of the things that I've noticed also too is that people are going back to a higher quality of a product too. You know, you've got a lot of people that it used to be the guys that were raising their beef and that they were selling their, you know, quarters and halves and stuff, and even the stuff at the farmer's market and stuff. I mean, they were using hormone implants, every vaccination that you could get out of the dictionary, pouring as many chemicals on them as possible. And you know, people are also realizing that as people, I guess as people becoming more educated, but they're deciding that, hey, I don't want that. I don't want to be putting that garbage into my body, and I don't want anything with all these hormones and every antibiotic. I mean, and I understand that some of the stuff, it does have a place and people use it. You know, and I got a lot of respect for people that use it sparingly, where there's a lot of people that it's just, you know, they want to give it to them all the time. And man, you can get some nice looking, you know, steers, that just, I mean, that'll rate out prime if, with those hormone implants. And if you give them every one of those shots, you know, those growth hormones are a bad deal. And is what I've noticed is there's a lot of people that are getting away from that. And I mean, they're even advertising it, no hormones or hormone free. And, you know, I don't think people realize how much stuff that, you know, when you go to the market or you go to the Costco or Safeway or your King Supers or your Publix of how much of that beef and chicken and stuff. If it doesn't say hormone-free or something like that, it is generally just completely pumped full of hormones.
And not to mention the fact that there's so much of it that's filler, it's not even meat.
Right.
You know, yeah. When you take one of our hamburger patties and you put it in a skillet and cook it versus one that you buy from the store, I mean, ours loses minimal size and normally the store meat, I mean, it's half of it leaves. It evaporates or whatever it does, you know, but it's not the same.
Yeah. The other thing that astounds me is, and it goes back to a regulatory concept, is a lot of the stuff in there that is listed as, you know, organic or different things like that, is there's a percentage that they're allowed to use. Some of our local guys, they don't have organic certification, but when they decide not to use it, they don't use any. You know, it's like, no, you know, we're allowed, under this certification, we're allowed 10% or we're allowed whatever. And, but these guys, it's like, no, we don't use any, you know, we're not using any of it. So I think I got
a neighbor that's just exactly what you said. I mean, when he decided and he saw, it was to know it. Exactly what you're saying.
Well, it's just that it's that to them, it's a badge of making sure that, you know, what they say is what they do. And I just applaud that. I mean, I'm like, you know, so it's like, well, you're not using, you know, growth hormones or something, right? Oh, good grief. No, we wouldn't do that. No, these are just cows. You know what I mean? So I just think that, you know, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And they're doing the absolute best we can. And that's what God requires of us. He doesn't require us to be perfect. He requires us to do the best that we could do. And that's their attitude. So to me, that's a, you know, that's just one of those signs from God. Oh, wow. So I think when we see all that stuff going, it really lifts my spirit, you know, and it gives you hope that these things are going on. And that's that remnant, you know, that remnant philosophy there, that no matter what they do, we're going to do it. We're going to do it different. We're going to do it right. We're going to, you know, and some of those guys that have that attitude, they don't even really know. They just have the law wrote on their heart. They're not really sure how that all works or where it all fits in at, but that's the way it is. And I think that's a real blessing.
Yeah, it really is. And like you were talking about your daughter doing the chickens and stuff, Josh, it's my daughter's doing the exact same thing. And, you know, she's got her 15, 16 chickens in a chicken house. And, I mean, she's out there checking on them 3 or 4 times a day. And it's been really good for her. It's been something that, you know, teaching responsibility. And, you know, right now she's going through and she's keeping track of, you know, how much it costs to feed them and how many eggs we're getting, you know, and how much, trying to figure out how much each one of those eggs is costing us. You know, and it's one of those things, raising your chickens, it's sometimes it's not about saving money. It's some of those eggs are the most expensive eggs you're ever going to have. And yeah, but it's one of those things is you can look at these eggs and you can tell the difference in an egg that you're going to buy in the store. You know what's going into them. You know what you're getting out of them. And I mean, they're a lot healthier. And it's when you're 5-year-old, when he can look at an egg and be like, oh man, I don't want that egg. Where'd that one come from? That's not one of our eggs. It's kind of funny, but I mean, even these eggs, a lot of these eggs, you can get them from people that have, you know, their egg stands set up all over the place. And some of those, it's, you know, when you start talking to people about what they're feeding their chickens, you wouldn't want to eat them anyway. So, you know, get to know where your food's coming from, get to know what's going into it, what they're putting into it, and you know, that'll determine if you want to eat it or not. It's
But, you know, that's paying for a better education than those young folks that are in college are getting. I mean, it's more relevant. And that was always a big deal to me whenever I was in school, is if I was learning something that had no relevance whatsoever to what I ever saw myself doing in life, it was hard for me to put in the effort versus if it was, if I was learning something that I could see a tie into, you know, everyday life or something that I might possibly use. You know, and I can see in my mind her going out there, well, it's snowing, yeah, but the chicken's got to be fed, you know, and so yep. She bundles up, puts her boots on and goes out there and does it, you know, because she learned that responsibility and, you know, to be able to understand the makeup of their feed and what protein count and the fat and this and that. I mean, there's a lot of adults that have no clue of how all that works and what nutrition really looks like. And, you know, when we can give our children an opportunity to learn these things early in life, that's worth a lot.
It is.
Yeah, I agree. I was always in the same boat growing up. Real world skills are attainable and desirable, and you want, and that's the whole thought process behind education, is getting educated to actually have a useful skill and a useful ability that you can translate directly. And a lot of these kids in this public school system, they're not getting that. You know, it's all just brainwashing, and they don't have any real world abilities to get out there, and they have no experience. And that's what we're talking about, is experience. I mean, it's just like Jason's daughter. She knows those. I mean, she looks at those chickens. She knows if one's not feeling well the second she looks at it, because she's interested in them all day, every day. So she can tell you all about them for quite a while. It's awesome to watch. So, and you know, I've known ranchers over the years, or cattle, they go out there and drive out there and look at the cows, and they can tell when a cow's not feeling well, or that's weird, her calf is there, or those sort of things. And that's a real world skill. And it's, you know, you can translate it to observation, you can translate it to veterinary doctoring, there's all kinds of applications there that are being taught that you can't even really, you know, detail out as far as what they are, but they're the real deal. I just seen a homeschool video the other day, and this gal said, well, you know, what are your kids learning? Do they have, what kind of tests are they taking and everything? And the mom was saying, well, you know, we did this around home and we did that. And she's like, well, yeah, but what kind of test? The fact of the matter is every day is a test. You know, it's like, that's the real world. Every day is a test. Every decision you make is a test, you know, as far as, is it going to work out good? Is it not going to work out good? And there's a lot of times that I know that I'm not talking to it. I'm talking to people here who realize that, but you know, sometimes we do things and like, we're like, oh, I'm never doing that again. <You know? laughs> I learned my lesson, you know, well, that was that life lesson that was an important one to figure out today. So, yeah.
Well, and we like to say that you can't buy common sense, but we are actually making installments on common sense by giving them experience in the real world. I had an algebra teacher one time that she was just super strict and by the book and, you know, this and that. And we would get into it because I had different ways of doing things but get the same answer. And she told me that she didn't care, and that's the way she graded. She didn't care if I got the answer correct or not. as long as it worked the problem correct. And I looked at her, I was like, in my mind, I was thinking, how dumb can you be? That is what math is all about, is getting the correct answer.
Yeah.
You know, and at that age, I could not, I had a hard time seeing where algebra had a place in my life. But now I see where, okay, we need 50 pounds of feed, and, you know, we want to be such and such protein, and we get this many pounds of oats and this much wheat, and so what's the third part going to be? And so, and that is algebra, you know, finding that unknown variable. And if she could have explained to me real world applications of this is why algebra, this is how algebra make your life better, then I could have continued to listen to her. But whenever she told me that it didn't matter what answer I got, my opinion went, you know,
I can see
in
that.
The gutter, because
math
is all about getting the right answer.
Right.
And, you know, Josh, that is happening all over. We've talked about the massive public school exodus that's been going on. It's continuing. It's growing. There's more and more people that are pulling their children out of school that are doing that very thing, not just indoctrinating, but pulling their children out of school to teach them that common sense. I heard a homeschool mom many years ago when we were just starting homeschooling that said, you know, if all you did was teach your children the Bible and kept them away from that ungodly influence, and of course meaning, you know, doing things around the homestead and that type of stuff, that they'll be head and shoulders ahead. And we see that now. You know, we see the big push with the trade schools, and that's not taboo. That's getting a little more media play, and the trade schools are growing like crazy, which I think are an outreach of some of the homeschooling and some of the realization that, you know, just that 4-year, 6-year, 8-year degree on the wall, that's no guarantee. And you end up with these educated idiots that can't change a tire, that can't hook up a washing machine, that don't understand where food comes from, like we've been talking about today. I saw a report said that, and this was from February 1st, so just a couple days ago, said a loss of 16,000 public school students in Missouri and 18,000 in Kansas, and anywhere from 20% to 60% of local school boards are experiencing this. And you know, I mean, we've been seeing it, and it just, again, it continues to grow. I thought this was interesting as well. Part of this report said that at the College Fix, which is reporting on college and different things like that, it said there was a report that today's new scientists are, quote, less capable than their predecessors because of the, again, a quote, the continued embrace of diversity, equity, inclusion, and STEM, combined with a broad decline in academic standards. And so it's interesting that, like you was mentioned earlier, you know, well, what test are you taking? How'd they do on the test? And that's our society today. They just want a real quick 30-second soundbite. That's the attention span, right? How'd they do on the ACT? How'd they do on the SAT? Where are they going to school? And that's it. And then it's on to, the View or whatever social media that the people are jumping back on. But even, you know, the college reports, even the scientists that are coming out are, quote, less capable because of the broad decline in academic standards. And so, again, it just shows that college and that promised degree and the $200,000 debt that you'll probably end up with as well is not, it's just been a lie. And it's starting, more and more people are starting to see that.
In my opinion, that's why they're forgiving all this student debt, is because they're losing their hold on people, and so they're trying to entice the young people. If you go to college and all, you can have your debt forgiven, because they need them in that institution to continue to be able to control their minds.
And that ties right in with the food, I think. You know, if you can think for yourself and understand that the quality of the food that you get is of utmost importance. And we've talked about that for years, how, these small farms have been taken over to where it's all quantity, right? It's the $600,000 tractor with the 47-foot wide disc and the 60-foot wide planter, and it's just more. But the quality is of no concern on these huge quantity farms, and ranches are the same way. It's like was mentioned earlier, you just pour that corn down them and pump them full of growth hormones to get them as big and fat as fast as possible. And it looks good. Like you mentioned, Jason, man, those, you see some of those show steers and whatnot, and they look like a drawing. They're just so sleek and fat and beautiful. But what's the food like? What's the food like? We get more and bigger, whether it's beef or corn or soybeans or whatever it is, more, but the quality, there's nothing there. Pastor taught on that, talked about how, people eat more and more because they're starving, because they're not getting the nutrients. And it is good to see that change. Like I think you mentioned, Jason, there's all kind of eggs available, but you want to get to know those people. You want to know what they're feeding them and how they're being raised, and not just, it has to be cage-free. That's the buzzword today. They got to be cage-free. I think Colorado passed a law. The chickens have to be cage-free. But, what does that really mean?
It doesn't mean they don't live in a cage. That's a fact.
Right. And so
they get so many square inches of cage.
Right. So it's important to have alternate means of food. Get to know your farmer. Get to know your rancher. Like was said, support those. If you can raise them, great. If you can't, support them, support those that do. And form those relationships, that community. It presents opportunities to share the gospel, to be able to help out, to be able to be a good neighbor, right? We're supposed to love God and love our neighbor. If all you ever do is stomp through Walmart or your grocery store for food and whatnot, and you just ignore your neighbor, well, it's kind of hard to love them if you ignore them.
Well, and the other thing that all these things do is they continually bring out the fact in from the, the back of the mind, bringing it forward that with God all things are possible. And we see that it brings out faith, brings out hope. These young people and older folks too, suddenly it's like, well, wait a minute, we can do this. One of those pivotal moments in my life I can remember was talking to my granddad one time when I was, it's been 50 plus years ago, but I can remember saying, because I thought he was really smart. He's a farmer, he raised cattle, he farmed, and he was, at least in my mind, very successful. I don't know how he ranked along with everybody else, but, there was always enough. It was always sufficient. Things were well taken care of. And I can remember asking him one time, the comment came up and I said something about, when did you graduate from high school, Grandpa? And he said, oh, I never went to high school, son. And I said, what? Well, what, did you go to school? Well, yeah, I went to school. And I said, well, what grade did you go to school to? Well, sixth grade. And the man had a sixth grade education, and he was doing just fine. And I, that shocked me to my core as a kid. You know, I was just like, well, according to what I've been taught, he should be stupid, you know. But it changed my whole philosophy in life, you know, that, well, if Grandpa can do that, why can't I? You know, I mean, or why, what is your gain by not going to that other 6 years or whatever, you know? So it leaves us with that hope and that awareness that through God, all things are possible. You know, I mean, it was like, oh, wow. 'Cause at that age, particularly, he was the smartest man I knew, you know, I mean, so there's just those things that go on. And I think that it fosters hope. It fosters faith in God. You know, when things didn't go right, Granddad was a Christian man, and he was always like, well, God will take care of that, you know. And he did. He did take care of it. So what a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and another thing that I wanted to talk about before we run out of time, we've got about 15 minutes left here on the program, but man, these U.S. strikes, I guess yesterday we hit Iraq, we also hit Syria. You know, and as soon as I heard that, it's, you know, those wars and rumors of wars, you know. Don't know exactly what timeline we're exactly living in, but I know that things are definitely getting interesting. And usually when, you know, some of the stuff that we've been talking about, you know, the food supply, food shortages, knowing where your food's coming from, that's something that's important in you know, times of war. And it's becoming pretty obvious that war is broadening. I think, you know, yesterday there was 85 strikes against different places in Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Force. I guess we hit Iran. We also hit Syria. Kind of interesting. I mean, and it's like, okay, you know, what's next? This was supposed to be in retaliation for a drone strike that killed three U.S. soldiers in Jordan. But then I heard another report that there was another 25 missiles that that the U.S. shot off. And, you know, basically we don't know what the damage is on any of that stuff yet. But it's it is broadening. I don't know if anybody else has got any insight on any of the specific details on any of those strikes or not. But, you know, basically one of the things that says, you know, Biden came out and, boy, he's, you know, he's huffing and puffing, and he says, let all those who seek to do us harm know this. I will, if you harm America, we will respond. And this was the response. And, you know, I'm just worried, you know, with the administration that we have is, you know, with these strikes and everything, it's like, okay, how do we even know that these, how do we know where the strikes came from, and how do we know who we're striking is the bad guys?
Yeah, and so that would seem like a lot bigger deal and would need more attention than the fact that the federal government's talking about going to war with Texas over closing the borders down.
Exactly.
Like you said, the rumors of war, we don't even know if it's even happening or not, but we know what's going on at the border. And
well, and what's coming out of the border. I mean, they had I don't know if you've seen this or not, but those four illegals that beat up the New York City cops, get up there, they beat up a cop, and illegals that just recently crossed the border in Mexico go to New York City on with free transportation, get paid to be there, beat the cops up, go to jail, get released, no bonds, were released within hours, and then get a taxpayer-paid bus ticket to get out of New York City and go to California. I mean, and that's, you know, I mean, to talk about aiding and abetting the enemy, you know, it's just, you know, it's crazy. And that's what people are realizing. They're like, you know, hey, Josh, if you or me went and beat up a cop, do you think we'd, and kicking him in the head, do you think that we'd be out of jail in a couple of hours with no bond on a personal recognizance.
No way.
Signing your name. No. Saying, no that, saying that I'm going to be there. There's no way. There's absolutely no way.
But well, instead
some,
of...
Some people the, are starting of top to wake up.
Being this morning that, that Governor DeSantis just sent the Florida National Guard to assist Texas
yep.
at the southern border. That's not the story. These strikes are now the story. And,
right.
I mean, you can read into that where Florida has sent the Florida National Guard to help Texas in its efforts to stop the invasion at the southern border. It says that Florida has offered up to 1,000 of its National Guard members based on Texas's needs.
Yep.
And that's so they're making a stand. And so back to that, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Exactly. That's right.
And Josh, it's not just Florida. 10 states have done that. 10 states have, and there's been 25 governors that have signed up that that have promised to support and help. But, yeah, you look at the Fox headlines, and it talks about, you know, Playboy money models and Taylor Swift's private jet parking coming to the Super Bowl and blah, 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 right? And you don't see you don't see this absolute invasion that's going on. Saw a report Thursday, Chicago alderman, a black guy, Chicago's ninth ward alderman, Anthony Beal, fed up with City Hall. He says, you know what? He says, if you paid me $9,000 a month like you're paying these illegals, I'd come to Chicago too. But that's what he pointed out. He said they're being paid, it's over $9,000 a month each, free child care, free housing vouchers, food, clothing, education, transportation, legal help, medical services, all types of stuff. You know, it came out about 2 weeks ago that the phones that they were giving them, they told them how to get up. They had an app that was through the immigration service here in the country that allowed them to fly wherever they wanted to, and they didn't go through security. They bypassed security and just got on a plane like you see our military guys doing when they're flying to war. And so, but anyway, I mentioned this from Chicago because at least it's good that some people, some other people anyway, are you know, it's getting out. They're raising a fuss about it, and even this Chicago's ninth ward, this black alderman Anthony Beal. And saying, you know, and then we got these Venezuelans. He said, how did they get here? You know, who's paying for that? And then they're driving here. How'd they get a driver's license? Do they have insurance and all? And who cares? You know, so what if we see it in the news all the time. They don't know how to drive. They wreck. They drive drunk. They wreck havoc. They cause chaos in our land. And, yeah, and our president just is lost, or just causing it and allowing it, aiding and abetting. I like how somebody said that.
I know that Nebraska has sent more than 60 National Guard soldiers for Operation Lone Star, and then they also sent 10 state troopers down there for drone surveillance operations and some of the other stuff. So. Yeah, these states are continuing to support, and the governor said we need to maintain the safety of our citizenry and stem the ongoing influx of illegal drugs, weapons, and criminals into our borders. That you know is going on with this inflow of illegal aliens. So, and that's on the official Nebraska website. So, I mean, you know, there's. I'm sure there's other states, I don't know, sent more or less, but the door is opening a crack there.
Yes.
Well, I like what DeSantis said. Our reinforcements will help Texas to add additional barriers, including razor wire along the border. We don't have a country if we don't have a border.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Seems like we heard Pastor Peters teaching on that for quite a few years, that very thing. Who'd have thought you'd have a governor repeating that or using that same terminology. Not too.
That sure is lucky, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's answered prayer.
It absolutely is.
It's funny, you know, you see all these different little cartoons, memes, or whatever. One guy was saying that he never saw razor wire cut anybody that didn't try to climb over it, you know, or that wasn't messing with it. If it's standing, standing there on a fence and you're leaving it alone, it's probably not going to cut you.
I like the one that says, you know, they were making such a big deal about the razor wire, then it's got a picture and it's showing the razor wire down there on the southern border, and it says, this is bad razor wire, and then it shows the razor wire around the White House and says, but this is good razor wire. And, you know, it puts things into perspective. It's, you know, it's all, if you got somebody trying to invade, it depends on where they're trying to invade. you know, they've opened up that border and they've done it on purpose. And, you know, we've got to, you know, think of these terms as, you know, they are the enemy. And it's like, if they're opening the border and they're trying to keep that open and they're trying to let these invaders in, they are the enemy.
Yes.
And we should be praying about that, lifting up the ones that are trying to do right.
Yes.
That should be on your to-do list.
Absolutely.
All you've got to do to get those evil people to move around is put the money wherever you want them, and that's where they're going to go to. And we're talking about that very thing. I mean, people are paying for their own demise in this country right now. I mean, you know, it's like if you stop, the border crisis would be over tomorrow if you simply enforce the border and stop paying them to be here. You know, so and that would go a long ways towards stemming that influx of illegal immigrants.
Yep. I wasn't trying to derail what you were saying, Jason. I was trying to add on to it that rumors of war that we don't even know. Because I was looking at the same headlines this morning and wondering to myself, okay, how all of a sudden have we had this 180-degree turn and, you know, the U.S. is going to take a firm stance, you know, and do all these things whenever that's not the way they've been operating.
Exactly. No, and I agree. And it's, you know, I mean, it's we don't know what's going on, and we know that they use a lot of smoke and mirrors and distractions and this and that. But it's, you know, it just, you know, it's broadening, and I do believe that there is things that are going on, and I don't know exactly, you know, what the whole deal is, but it is. I know that they're spending a lot more money on those 125 missiles that they're using to bomb over there than they are on, you know, trying to shut down the border. Can you imagine if they launched 125 missiles along the border?
Well, we start just to stop taking the razor wire down. I mean, there's a Supreme Court order that the Border Patrol agents are allowed to remove the razor wire. I mean, so we're paying our people to take down our border.
Yeah.
Well, and it's just very hypocritical that we're over there worried about all these borders over there in the sandbox place over there, Iraq, Syria, Iran, all those places. But our own crickets, you know. I mean, it's like, I don't, why worry about their borders, you know?
And it's not that it's even anything about the country of Mexico, but the world that wants to come here and do harm can go to Mexico and walk across the border. And that's the big thing, you know, is that, I mean, immigration the correct way is one thing, but...
Right. We saw a report last week that they've caught 16,000 Chinese that they've apprehended since October. 16,000 Chinese that they've caught coming across the southern border. Now, how does that fit into the poor, oppressed, you know, people seeking asylum? It doesn't. And we've had people call in. We've talked to people on the ministry. They say that, hey, they're not seeing families. they're seeing military age men. You're seeing very few women, very, very few children. It's just good that most people are waking up to that. It is. Well, guys, we're about out of time.
Yeah, we are. Well, thanks, gentlemen, for joining us. We hope you have a good rest of the weekend, Remnant, and encourage you to join us for church tomorrow at scriptures4america.org.
Scriptures for America has a number of resources available for use by His people. In science, medicine, and technology, man has made some amazing discoveries. But the greatest discovery of our times is the identity of the Hebrew people of the Bible today. The pamphlet, The Greatest Discovery of Our Age, tells who these people are. The Greatest Discovery of Our Age also tells who the wicked ones are and points out verses that prove America is in the Bible. To order The Greatest Discovery of Our Age, please send $6 to Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado 80535. Or you may go online to scripturesforamerica.org. You may call the Radio Ranch at area code 307-742-7582. Email preacher@sfaw.org. Order your copy today of The Greatest Discovery of Our Age.